All right, so thanks for joining us. We're back again for another episode of our OmniTalk Spotlight series. Today we're sponsored by Xenia, the engine for modern commerce. Thank you to them for sponsoring us, as always. We're here live from shop.org, and I'm sitting here with Jameis Driscoll of Molten, CEO of Molten. So welcome, Jameis, to the show.
Thank you very much.
Now, Jameis and I go way back, actually. We first met each other back, I think it was 2003. I was an intern in business school at a company called Profit Logic, and Jameis was actually one of my early mentors in marketing. So this is a special day for me. Yeah. So
well, it's great to be back here.
Yeah, thanks, man. It's good to see you. So tell us a little bit about what is Molten.
So Molten is a reinvention engine for commerce, and we see so many retailers and brands now reimagining how they want to engage a customer and to drive the right commerce experiences. And the way to think about it is, we've moved in the internet from just selling on a website as if that's sort of the magic, and now getting out to the web really being a communication medium between brands and consumers, wherever brands and consumers meet. Mm-hmm. And we want to give brands these tools to help commercialize the moment, to both create the right moments with customers wherever they are, and then to make those moments selling opportunities if that's appropriate for the experience. Mm-hmm. We do that with technology called APIs, which take the complexity of an e-commerce platform, which are really optimized to deliver that initial UI experience to the browser, and make those assemblable pieces that can be delivered into any internet-enabled device, channel, or experience.
For example?
So for example, we built an application with a company called Stance, a super hot, fast-growing brand, where they wanted to deliver a customer experience where a consumer could walk into the store, pull out her smartphone, not have to download an app, go to a simple website, and effectively have the point of sale in her hand and the ability to barcode scan items. So that's what we delivered. Record fast time, delivered the application with Stance in 7 weeks, which is unheard of for enterprise tech. And the idea now is that there's a whole new customer experience happening in the store where the consumer now has full control over it and walk up, barcode, scan an item, add it to basket, check out with Apple Pay, show a receipt at the door and walk out and never go to the original till.
So you're essentially, in layman's terms almost, you're really creating a really flexible system for retailers, brands to really talk to their consumer in a very fast and quick way.
That's exactly right. We've hit this point, it's a curious conundrum where everyone wants innovation, right? Innovation is definitely back in the industry, and people want to drive brand experiences that are innovative, that talk to the customer, that speak the brand language. And yet, traditionally, delivering those experiences has been really hard, really expensive, and really slow, which starts to beg, what's the ROI question? And it's just this inherent grinding of the gears when we should be in a world where things are fast, iterative, highly testing, experiential. And if the ability to do them is quick and fast, so you can go from think it to do it, in a fraction of the time that you used to, well, you can afford to test. And we think that's what the world needs right now. And it's our goal to help make that possible.
And you said something on that point. You said something that was really interesting yesterday. We just bumped into you. We bumped into each other on the first day of the show. And then as I've sat through some different panels today, actually what you said has become really prescient because you use the words discovery, right? And you use the word storytelling. And that you're seeing, and that's almost the theme of the show, I feel like, as people are talking, that commerce is taking on more of that angle from a digital perspective than ever before. And that's always kind of been the purview of stores.
Right.
But now digital is taking that angle.
Right.
Talk about how you see that evolution, if you don't mind, and specifically about how the solution then fits into that.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. We see, increasingly as consumer purchases divide into the camps of wants and needs. The needs tend to be more fulfilled in the fastest, most convenient way possible. The wants, though, are really about memorializing an experience, a memory, a thing that we wish we could do. They're very much emotional purchases. And stories, are the way to access the emotional quotient of that relationship between the brand and the consumer. And so more and more brands, particularly the new emergent brands, which are growing so fast, are building their whole businesses around the concept of telling the story. It's content, it's rich imagery, it's emotive experiences, and trying to develop that as an emotional connection to the buyer, which is memorialized in a purchase of a product.
Right.
And so particularly as our camps divide between the wants and the needs, you know, we see the importance of storytelling and brand stories and authenticity becoming really core to the digital experience. Mm-hmm. And that story needs to be told on a browser, in a store, mm-hmm. on a mobile device, wherever the brand and the consumer interact. Mm-hmm.
So when you then speak to these companies, these mm-hmm. brands, and to your point, that it seems the barriers to entry for anyone to start this is a lot less than it ever was before.
Yeah.
What is it that you say to them then along those lines, especially around Molten and what you guys yeah. do? Is it?
Well, I mean, our first approach is we want to just understand the authenticity of the story. Mm-hmm. Like, what is it that the brand wants
okay.
to do? Because it's really easy to start with sort of why are we great, but this is
we're flexible. Right, we can do this,
right? But it's about what does the brand need and want, mm-hmm. and what is their vision and their strategy? Mm. Because we've yet to meet a great brand or a great leader who didn't have a vision and a story. Mm. They know.
So it's funny; these stories are just coming with people, regardless. Yeah. It's just they're becoming more front and center.
Totally. Mm. And these leaders are often frustrated by. I know what could differentiate my brand if only I could do X.
Mm.
And that's sort of the story of the things that I wish they could do meet the realities of current technology, and often sort of the dream grinds down into, we could do it if we could take 6 months and have this project, and that sort of begets the ROI story, and then you got to be certain before you ever take the first step.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we typically want to understand what it is that they want to deliver for their brand and their consumer, and, mm-hmm. and what does that amazing experience look like, and what would the omni-channel experience be, and try to understand that more, and then break it down into how they can help solve that at a course and speed that they've never really been mm-hmm. able to do before.
Mm-hmm.
We certainly could start with the APIs, but it's a long step between what
right.
you want to do and the technology that delivers it.
I imagine a lot of companies are going through that same thought process or topic. How do you actually tease that? Like, how do you think about teasing that out? Because I think that's really interesting about mm-hmm. how you just described that.
Mm-hmm.
How do you tease out how do you get them to tell you that this is what I think I want?
Yeah, it's a very hard thing. And it takes time in markets. And it takes time for people to really understand that it is possible.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of that is work with customers who are innovators, who are way in front of the pack, who really have a history of doing these types of innovation use cases time and time again.
So you're trying to suss that out up front.
Yeah, okay. And work with them. And then once they're done and delivered, then it's easy for the market to start to understand, okay, wait a second, that was possible.
Mm.
And it gives them permission to dream again.
Mm.
And so that's the way we typically do it. We also often see, because we are an open platform, we allow anyone to come in and work with our technology even before we are properly customers.
Mm-hmm.
That's been a really interesting way to understand how the market is thinking about new commerce models. Because what happens is the business asks someone from their IT leadership to go find an answer to a problem.
Mm-hmm. Point to point is kind of how I usually talk about that. Yeah,
right.
Versus the holistic, which is what you're trying to get at.
And so then they come in, and then we get to watch and learn and see what they build and ask how we can be helpful. And it's been really amazing and inspiring to see what these brands are building now.
Do you think that's the future, that more open mindset? You always hear different sides of this mm-hmm. argument. How do you think about that? When you start talking about the storytelling and discovery and the need to be flexible and everything's evolving, it almost makes me lean that way. But mm-hmm. I'm curious, you, with the expertise that you have, how do you think about that?
Now, we certainly see a big shift of mindset in the marketplace now, where we think we're, as we say, the third wave of commerce.
Mm.
First wave is we figured out how to sell them this thing called the internet.
Okay.
Second wave was we figured out how to optimize that experience, right? And there's a lot of things that we did through the technology curves to make mm-hmm. that possible.
Mm-hmm.
The third wave that we see is now we're recognizing that the traditional e-commerce website was just the first user experience.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first UI on this
mm-hmm.
thing called the web.
Mm-hmm.
And the web is a pervasive communication medium that mm-hmm. is always present. So
mm-hmm.
the web isn't a destination.
Mm-hmm.
The magic of going to be able to fulfill a transaction on this thing called the internet,
mm-hmm.
That's past.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's about back to the basics of retail, which used to be in the store, mm-hmm. of course, and still are,
mm-hmm.
inspiring, romancing, building moments, and making those the transaction things that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so, everything is somewhat cyclical. History doesn't repeat, but it rhymes.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
we're
right
at the next step of the rhyme.
Yeah. Interesting. I like that word. It's just the form of the UI. That's yeah. something. And then now, what's the next shape of the UI? Right. Especially as you start to think of the digital and the physical blend. That's a different way of yeah. thinking about it. I love that. I love yeah. that. Well, so where, as we get out of here, where are you guys as a company now? And then what's next?
Mm-hmm. Well, so we're we're an early stage company and building up our business. We are working very closely with a handful of clients to really deliver the types of successes that that we think are going to advance them and their brand. We believe very, very deeply in making sure our customers are successful. So it's important for us to make sure that we're really doing a great job with that because it's about helping them achieve their aspirations. Mm-hmm. And so we want to make sure we do that. And then from there, it's about really growing this concept of commerce isn't a platform, it's functions. And those functions should be available everywhere brands and consumers meet. And if those functions are delivered in the right way, then brands are free to create again. Mm-hmm. And that's where we're really pushing a lot of our energy around helping brands make that possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've talked a lot about the psychological difference between shopping and buying. And it sounds like your tool has the flexibility to service both sides of that equation. Mm-hmm. And it just depends on what interface you want to serve up to make that easiest and simplest for for the consumer.
We're seeing a, that's exactly right.
Is that right?
And
okay.
For certain. And there's this interesting thread which is happening in the market where it used to be we would market to a consumer, whether that's in the physical or the digital world, with the intention of creating an inspiration to then create footfall.
To be this linear process almost.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Right, where,
yeah.
It's the classic funnel,
right?
Where, I will market to you, I will drive traffic, you will come to my physical or virtual place, you will then add things to a basket, there will be attrition, and eventually someone's going to check out. And that's my funnel.
Yeah, right.
Well, we ask ourselves, particularly on the web, why?
Mm-hmm.
When you're having a marketing experience that results in a transaction, why are we running a funnel?
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't we making the experience the shop?
Mm-hmm.
And how do we merge those two? So we're seeing this coalescence of how do I inspire and then how do I transact in the moment?
Mm-hmm.
And how do I create that moment and how do I commercialize that moment?
Absolutely. Yeah, shop to buy that much faster. Yeah.
Right.
No, this has been awesome. I think this has been one of the best interviews we've done, one of the most insightful interviews. Lots of nuggets to think about in here. So thank you, Jameis.
It's nice to catch up.
Yeah, for sure. It's great to catch up. And of course, there's one thing we still have to do for all our loyal OmniTalk listeners is we have to ask you, how millennial are you?
Okay.
So are you ready for this one?
I think so.
All right. So as you know, we ask these questions not to judge your age, but to just to see how curious you are intellectually about all the things that are changing, especially from a technology perspective. So question number one, what would you prefer, a nice vacation or an expensive automobile?
Vacation.
I figured as much. If you could be doing anything right now, what would it be?
Well, here having a podcast with you.
Of course. That's one hell of an experience.
My dream has been fulfilled.
That's awesome. All right, question number two. Do you still own cable, or do you still have cable, I should say?
I do not.
You do not?
No.
You pulled the plug on cable. How long has it been?
A little over a year.
Good for you.
What
pushed you over that edge?
Well, we were much more with any of our TV watching as a family, and we're a family of six, so we were much more destination-driven in our TV watching and in our entertainment. So we would either go to Netflix or Amazon Prime or any of those videos. And so we found that just there really wasn't much on the TV that and so we wanted to be more choosy with our time. And I initially approached it as a cost-saving exercise, which hasn't quite borne out
because
have all these services that we never thought we'd have.
Right.
But now we definitely cut the cord, and it was a shocking moment in the family, but people are adjusting.
It's kind of like we were talking about, Fine to Watch is now faster for your family,
I imagine, too. Yeah.
All right, question number three. So let's say you go out to dinner, okay? Mm. Maybe you go out to dinner with some friends, and the check comes. How are you paying that check? Are you divvying out some cash to pay everybody, or are you using one of these fancy new things like Venmo?
Mostly I'm the one picking up the check.
Oh, okay.
Particularly
all right.
If I'm out with family or business.
That's true.
I'd really like to be able to Venmo with everyone. Hasn't played out well for me yet.
Okay. Yeah, because everyone else has to get there too, right?
Yeah.
On that adoption curve.
Yeah. And everyone else has to be willing. I haven't quite got the kids to pick up the check
yet. The kids can't do that.
I'm working on it.
And you're not going to ask business associates too. But what if when you're out with your buddies, what do you... How are you splitting
that
bill?
At that point, it's usually cash.
Cash, yeah. I'm still the same way. I'm not quite on the millennial curve on that.
Yeah, I haven't been there.
Okay, this one's a little more personal. Last question. At home, are you sleeping on a traditional box spring mattress, or have you kind of pushed over to the other side and gone with one of these direct-to-consumer memory foam mattresses, like a Canvas or a Purple?
I'm still on the box spring.
Awesome, yeah. So are we. Any reason why?
I think the last time I purchased a mattress, it was probably not an option.
They weren't around yet.
It was a frustrated purchase. It was a, you know, this has to go now, and the mattress has to come in. So it was a, you know, let's go out like Saturday morning. This is a must stop.
Yeah.
So that was the last time, and that's been a few years.
Yeah, but. And I still like them better too. I'm the same way. So actually, we kind of nailed for us together. We were kind of on the same curve
there. Good.
So kind of right in the middle. So that's good. Yeah. Well, hey, if people want to find out more about Molten, what should they do?
They should go to molten.com. You know, find everything you want there. You know, want to explore the product if you're technically minded. You can get full access to the product there and have a look. And obviously, you know, contact us through the site or. You know, find me on LinkedIn, whatever.
Awesome. Awesome. That's great. And again, thank you so much to Jameis Driscoll, CEO of Molten. And as always, for all the loyal listeners out there, be careful out there.